The DR identity. What is the DR identity? Take your Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 6. And while you're turning there, let me say a word to our children. We're wanting to beef up our children's ministry here at our church. In fact, this fall, we're talking about just doing some major stuff for kids. This is something that we're going to start in the sanctuary. It's called Simple Sermon Notes for kids ages 7 and 12. And so every kid gets a book when he comes into the service. We're going to start this, not next Sunday, but the next one after the gospel sing. And here's what you do, kids. You write down your favorite song, something that was done in the service. I mean, according to the, it's got it all laid out here. You can draw a picture of today's Bible story. And of course, you write down the sermon title. I'll go ahead and tell you, the more you write down about the sermon and the outline, which you think it's already on the screen, whoever gets it best each week, I'm putting, and these will be collected, you'll turn them back in at the gift, I mean at the Welcome Center, I'm going to be giving a gift card, okay, to whoever gets it right. And I hope all of you can get it right, but we're going to only do one a week. And this is to get our kids more engaged in our worship service, and then we're going to do some other things we'll talk about later. So you got your place in God's Word, Romans chapter 6, some of the greatest theology that I know is right here. So you're going to learn something today. Let's all stand and reverence to the reading of God's holy, infallible, inspired Word. I love you. Thank you for being here. Know ye not. He wants us to understand something. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Here's that word again, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourself to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Do we have that prayer? Let's pray that prayer. Can you pray that? Eyes open. Okay, God will hear us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, open my eyes so I can see truth. Open my ears so I can hear your voice. Open my mind so I can understand your word. And open my heart so I may receive all that you want me to receive. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Thank you for praying. Well, I'm going to tell you about the DR real quick. I want you to listen carefully because I got a little story to tell you. The DR identity, the D stands for death. The R stands for resurrection. But I want to tell you a story about a man that I got to know and I was witnessing to. In fact, I prayed for him for many years to accept Christ. He was a brick mason by trade, and he owned this company. And he had a bunch of guys working for him. They were his gophers, but this guy was the best brick mason I've ever seen. He laid all the bricks. The last church I was pastor of was all bricks. So he laid a lot of bricks there. We went through about four building programs. So I got to know this guy really good. And his initials were D.R. Oliver. And so I asked him one day, I said, what does the D.R. stand for? And he said, I'll tell you, I'm glad you asked. He said, you see how I lay these bricks? I said, yes, sir. I said, you really know what you're doing. He said, it means I'm dead right. He said, I am dead right. I said, really? Isn't that a little bit of ego? He said, preacher, it's like this. If you got it, you got it. And if you don't, you don't. Well, I'm preaching today that Jesus is dead right. Amen. Amen? His death was right. And I'm here to preach today that Jesus is dead right, but he is alive right. Hello? And Jesus does it right. So you don't have to go left and be left behind. You can go right and be made right. Robert Louis Stevenson is said to have attended church one Sunday and returned home to write these words down. I went to church this morning and was not greatly depressed. A want ad appeared in a newspaper some time ago that went something like this. Wanted by an invalid lady, a housekeeper and companion, must be good churchwoman, must have good references, must be a cheerful Christian, if possible. Where in the world did we ever get the idea that Christianity has to be dull, that it has to be boring, and it's something that you just go to church and you just make it through? Many, many Christians are only surviving when God meant for you to be thriving. Church ought to be the most exciting day in your life. It should be. Why is it then? I mean, I've been there, preached many revivals in churches that I thought, man, this church is so dead. I mean, I've done funerals that were more alive than that church. I mean, really. What's this deal with dead churches? And I wrote this down so I'll remember. These are my words. If there are dead churches, and they are, they're dead without Christ, because where Jesus is, there is life. Amen. They're dead because they don't have Christ. Amen. I believe with all my heart I serve a risen Savior. He's alive. He gave us victory over sin, over death, and over the grave. This message is deep today, and I hope you'll get it. Number one, there is the need to educate saints. Educate saints. I am so discouraged oftentimes and disappointed that the first thing people say to me when I ask them if they're saved, their response, 9 times out of 10, well, I've been baptized. Well, baptism doesn't save you. Harnett County water has no saving power. And so there's a reason we need to have education. By the way, that's why we have small groups on Sunday night. You may not know this about this church. Your pastor's growing. I'm in a discipleship group that Gordy's teaching back there. And I tell you, I am challenged in that class. I have to think, because Gordy don't think like normal. I'm telling you, he's out of the box. But I love being in that class. We meet at 5 o'clock. 5:30, Ganesh teaches a class for learning the Bible characters. We need all the help we can get. We need to be educated. Here's the deal. You can't stand for something if you don't know what you're standing for. You can't defend something if you don't know anything about it. We need to be educated. And we are saints. A lot of people don't understand that. They think, well, when you go to heaven, you're a saint. No. A saint, the word means to be set apart. And these scriptures are all about sanctification. So let's educate the saints. Look what verse 3 says. Know ye not? Look at verse 6. Knowing this? Look at verse 9. Knowing that Christ. Number verse 16. Know ye not? Most of God's children are uneducated in who and what they have in Jesus Christ. We don't live the Christian life because many times we really don't know how. Today you're going to learn how. Educate the saints. Number one, wholeness in the newness of life. Look at verse 3 again. Know ye not that as so many of us as were baptized, now the word baptized there, and see, this is why you got to get educated. He's not talking about water baptism. You would think he is. You hear the word baptism, but he's talking about being baptized with the Holy Spirit here. Into Jesus Christ was baptized into his death. So the first baptism here is a baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, I tell you, I do not believe, as some denominations teach, that it's a separate experience apart from salvation. I believe when you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, you receive the Father, you receive the Son, you receive the Holy Spirit. In fact, listen to this, you can't be saved. Now listen, because there might be someone here who's not saved today. You may be a church member. You may be baptized. But the Bible says no person can be saved unless the Holy Spirit draws him. No, you don't get saved because you want to. You get saved because God called you. Hello? Amen. He called you to salvation, called you from death to life. So one of the reasons people have not experienced this wholeness, because they don't have the new life. I'm going to tell you, if you got the new life, you've been made whole. Hello? Jesus does it right. He's dead right when he comes to salvation. He died for you. So we were baptized in his Holy Spirit, and therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead. Now, the first baptism, the Holy Spirit, Helps us understand God's word. Helps us to grow as a Christian. You can't do this on your own. Colossians 3:10. But ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principalities and powers. Jesus is dead right about baptism. You are buried. Now, he does talk about baptism. After he initially talks about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, then he begins to talk about water baptism. You are buried with him. Baptism symbolizes that you've been buried in a liquid tomb, and your sins are in the grave of God's forgiveness. You not only have died with Christ, you've been buried with Christ. I was so proud today of Eli. I was sitting back here, and he said, well, Pastor, when we go into that grave, go into that water, it's like going into a grave. That's exactly right, Eli. You die. You die to you so that you can live in Christ. This is the wholeness. You want to be whole? Then die. We literally are to be, listen to this carefully, we're to be living dead men. That's right. Dead to us, alive in Christ. That's the key to the Christian life. The problem with the Christian is this. We've got too much of us and not enough of him. I like what Rich Yocko reminds me of. Too much church, not enough God. That's a powerful statement. Too much of self. That's the problem we all have. Too much of us, not enough of God. We're so full of ourselves. We really are. And that's because that is our bent. That's our nature. We have an old nature. When you get saved, you don't lose that old nature. You do receive a new nature. And yes, there is a battle going on between that old and new nature all the time. But you've got to understand, you've been made whole in Jesus Christ. You not only have died with Christ, you are buried with Christ. And when the devil comes looking for the old you, what are you supposed to say? Well, he's not here. He died. Can a dead drunk man drink? No, he's dead. So if you're dead, you can't live that old life anymore. You've been made alive in Christ. You understand what I'm saying? Is that because of Jesus Christ, not only do we identify with his death, we too are buried. We go under the water. Jesus didn't die a halfway death, a sprinkled on death. We don't believe in water sprinkling on your head because Jesus died a complete death. We believe in immersion going all the way under. That's why I have to tell people sometimes, arms too. We're going to take all of you under. It's a complete immersion so that you will experience what it means to be whole. You're raised with him. You are not with him in the grave because he's no longer in the grave. He rose from the tomb. You are alive in him now. You're out of that grave. And the grave could not hold him, and you shouldn't let the past hold you down. Somebody say amen. You shouldn't let the old life hold you down. Satan likes to remind you of your past. You need to remind him of his future. Immersion baptism is a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And every time somebody goes into that watery grave, we see the picture of the glorious gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. You witness the picture of what I'm preaching today. I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day. Wholeness in newness of life. And then there's worship in newness of life. You see that in verse 4. It says, by the glory of God. Look at that. I like that. He says, you were raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father. This new life is hid in Christ, and you can't help but worship. You can't help it. You get a case of can't help it when you get saved. You can't help but bow down to your Father. You can't help. You know what worship really is? I'll tell you what worship really is. It's love. You're here loving God. Yes, you are. You love him in a song. You love him in an offering. You love him listening to his word. We love God enough to be here today. Can I get an amen? I didn't come just to see you. You didn't come to see me. We've come here for cause of Jesus. Amen? He's our reason. He's our purpose. And we're here to worship him. It was the hand of the Lord Jesus that reached down and brought you into a perfect union that now you can cry, Abba, Father. You can say to a holy, righteous God, you are my Father, because Jesus reached way down. He reached. He knows how to stoop and scoop. He picked you up. He set your feet upon a solid rock. You are a new person, and I personally believe you should never be ashamed to worship one like that. I when I worship, I think about what he's done for me. Amen. This is a Thanksgiving service. Amen? And I get excited. How about you? All right? And then walk in newness of life. See that in the latter part of verse 4. Even so, we also should walk in newness of life. 2 Corinthians 5:17. He says this. He says, if any man be in Christ, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things become new. You have a whole new life. A new life. That's what I'm saying. And you're to walk like you got a new life. Hello? You don't continue to walk like you used to walk. You don't go back. It's a dangerous thing to go back where God's brought you from. You walk in newness of life. You have this great need to worship. You learn to walk in this newness of life because of this new life, not simply putting one foot in front of the other, but rather a whole new lifestyle that includes disciplines of the Christian life. You are no longer living for you, but Christ. You've been bought with a price. Jesus did not come to live and die to make you nice. Jesus came to live and die to make you new. Jesus Christ didn't go to a cruel cross just to make you a good man. He went to a cruel cross to make you God's man. He did too much for you just to settle for life. And many people have done it. They're just going through the motions. They're just surviving when Jesus meant for you to thrive. How do you thrive? You understand you've been made whole. You worship is a big part of this. You worship because of what he's done for you. You come with him with praise and thanksgiving. And then you go out of here and you walk in this life. Because, friend, I'm going to tell you something. People know your walk. Everybody. I mean, one thing you can't hide is your walk. You can't. You know, I just think, anybody can talk the talk. But it takes the real deal to walk the walk. Amen. And you know, I know none of us are perfect. Nobody's arrived here, but I will say this. If Jesus is in your heart, you walk different. Amen. Amen. You don't continue to do things of the world. And you say, well, preacher, I love doing the things of the world. Well, if that's what you got your focus on and that's your eyes and that's your life, then maybe you don't have this new life. Because the new life I'm talking about says this. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things become new. That's educating the saints, but now let's eradicate sin, because that's what Jesus came to do. Verses 5 through 7. I want you to listen to this very, very carefully. Take this in. To live in sin is to be dead to God. To die to sin is to live for God. We're living dead men. That's what Jesus came to do, to eradicate sin. To live in sin is to die to God. If you can continue to live in sin, you're not a child of God. You're not. You can't be. If you were a child of God, you give God the right to cure you or kill you. Because, friend, God don't play no games. He gave his son to die for your sin. And this, you know, church is not a time to play games. What Jesus did on the cross was very serious. He eradicated sin. So how does this look? What does this look like? Well, number one, the battle of sin was serious. The battle of sin was defeated. Verse 5 says, for if we've been planted together in the likeness of death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. The word planted here is united. In fact, some of your versions probably say that. We are united in his death. We're united in his resurrection. The battle of sin was fought by Jesus Christ on the cross. And guess what? We win. Isn't this something? You go to a ball game and, you know, you got the players out there on the field, on the court or whatever, and your team wins and everybody walks away saying, we win. We won. Now, you didn't carry a ball. No one tackled you. You were just a fan. But yet, you walk away saying you won. Well, guess what? You did. Because you know what? When you got Jesus, you win. Amen. I mean, you really do. I mean, I've read the back of the book, and guess what? All the troubles in this world, all the heartaches, all the pain, everything that could ever happen that would come against you, I promise you on the authority of His Word, you win if you've got Jesus. Amen. You see, heaven is even political. It's who you know that gets you in. Amen. Amen. And Jesus is the answer. You win. Jesus won. He fought the battle of sin. You died with Him. Your identification is with Jesus who gave Himself for you. And when Jesus died, you died with Him. You are no longer a slave to sin. And since He was your substitute, you were on that cross. His death had your name on it. And the old person that you were was nailed to that cross with Jesus Christ Himself. You see, if all He did was to forgive your sin and doesn't deal with you, then He has not delivered you from your worst enemy called death. But because He lives, we live also. The battle of sin was won at the cross. And then the body of sin was destroyed, according to verse 6. Look at verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. God does not tell us to crucify ourselves here, but rather to believe that we have already been crucified with Him and that the old man is dead in us. If self, listen to this carefully, if self is on the throne, Jesus is still on the cross. But if self is on the cross, Jesus is on the throne. So who's on the throne in your life, self or Jesus? If self is on the throne, Jesus is still on the cross. If self is on the cross, Jesus is on the throne of your life. If you're saved, you've been made, you have a new want to. You don't want to live for the world. You see, we will sin because that's our old sinful nature, but you don't want to. Are y'all following me? You don't want to deliberately go out here and sin against God. Now, they got that wrong up there. It's not the battle of sin defeated. It's the battle of sin defeated. It's the body of sin destroyed. I took that straight from God's Word there. The body of sin. It's very important that you get that. You want to live unto the Lord Jesus that's in you, and you want to die to yourself. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God. Now, listen, I'm still reading that scripture there in Galatians. I don't frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness comes by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. 1 John 3:8, he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that He might destroy the works of the devil. You see, if you are to live right, you've got to be right. And if you're going to get real, you've got to get right. And Jesus, let me tell you something, Jesus is dead right. I mean, He said He will destroy the body of sin. In other words, what He's saying is that we don't want to sin. That is not in our DNA. We have identified with the Lord Jesus Christ. He is dead right. He is the one who died for us. He's the one who rose for us, and He's dead right. Our body of sin, He said, will be destroyed in that we receive Christ as our Savior. It's not a want to that we want to go out here and deliberately sin against God. And then third of all, our bondage of sin delivered. Our bondage of sin. There's bondage in sin. Do y'all know that? Bondage of sin delivered. Verse 6, that henceforth we should not serve sin. You see that? Sin has kept us in bondage so long, we don't know how to live free lives. Are y'all listening to me? We don't know how to live free. You know why? Sin's done a number on all of us. It has. In fact, it has brainwashed us. What it's done, we hear so much and we've learned so much. I tell you, colleges, and I've been there and done that, if you don't watch it, they'll mess up a young person's mind. They really, you know what I think their goal is? To get them to follow the enemy. I really do. I mean, think about it. The crazy stuff that's been taught over the years. And now just theories of evolution, the Big Bang Theory. All this hogwash. Let me tell you something. God created the heavens and the earth, period. Once I was a tadpole beginning to again. Then I was a frog with my tail stuck in. Then I was a monkey in a bambin tree, and now I'm a professor with a PhD. Sin will destroy you. It'll keep you in bondage. It will eat your lunch, your breakfast, and your supper too. Are y'all with me this morning? The bondage of sin. Sin will take you further than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and it'll cost you a whole lot more than you want to pay. Jesus did it dead right when he took the burden of sin so you don't have to. He took the bondage of your sin. You are delivered. I don't care what the devil says. Amen? You've been set free, and that's the fourth thing. The burden of sin is dead. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Verse 7. In time past, I was set free from the penalty of sin. In time present, I'm set free from the power of sin. And in time future, I'll be set free, hallelujah, from the presence of sin. But the fact is, we all have to learn that in this life and in this body, I'll tell you, there are temptations, but you don't have to yield to it. Temptation is not a sin. It's when you yield to it. You know, you say, well, I have lustful thoughts. Well, guess what? Join the club. Everybody has thoughts, but you don't have to give into them, right? You don't have to act upon them. To act upon it is sin. You can. You have the power. Everybody in this room has this power. No. Yeah. You can say no. Oh, it may not be popular, and it may not go over good with your peers. No. How many of you remember Jesse Helms? He was the real deal, I thought. You know what he had on his desk? And a big sign. Whoever came into his office saw a great old big sign. It wasn't Jesse Helms. He had a sign on his desk. No. Well, that's probably why he made a difference, because he said, no. Look up here, church. I love you. We need to learn to say no to the world, the flesh, and the devil. Say no, because I'm going to tell you what all three of them will do. They'll keep you burden and keep you in bondage. And I'll tell you something, you won't live a victorious life. I'm almost done here, because I got to get into this. This is my favorite one here. And I want to educate the saints. I thank God Jesus eradicated sin. But here's eternal security. Now, I'm going to have a spell, so y'all just hold on. I got to have a spell here. Verse 8, I can't help it. I got the case of can't help it. So I told you I have a disease. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. I want to teach you right now how that you and I, and by the way, you need to know where I've come from. When I was little, growing up in church, I was taught that you had to live a certain way. And if you didn't live a certain way, you would lose your salvation. That's what I was taught. I was taught you got to live holy. I grew up in a holiness church, and so it was all about, well, you got to do this, you got to do the right. You know, the women, they had to wear their hair in a bundle, no makeup. I say if the house needs paint and paint it. But anyway, but I don't believe you have to follow all these rules and regulations. I don't. I mean, why in the world do we want to conform people to be like us? Listen to me carefully. I want every one of you to walk out of here today, and I want to make this clear to you as your pastor. I don't want you following me. I want you following Jesus. Amen. The best thing that could be said when you walk out the door today, and I know some of you are probably going to say this because you always got something to say to me. When you go out the door, you can say this. God was here today. Amen. Jesus spoke to my heart. Not this, that, and the other. What matters? Because what matters is this. Eternity is too long to be wrong. So let's get this right. Number one, you need to understand this about eternal security. It was paid in full. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we also shall live with him. I mean, you can't live with him if you're going to lose it, but Jesus paid it all. I want to prove it to you. Philippians 1:21, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Without Christ is to die, to die is to lose everything you have. But to live with Christ. I like that verse. For me to live is Christ. To die is to lose if you take Christ out of that sentence. Really, everything about your life, you're a loser without Christ. Without Christ. He said, it is finished from the cross. Jesus said it. Now listen, we're going to get into some study now. A study of God to help you understand this. That on the cross, When Jesus said his last words, his words, they're recorded, he said, "It is finished." That meant that he did everything to keep you secure for your salvation. Yeah, it's done. I have completed my Father's will. I have done everything that is needed for your salvation. You don't have to do anything extra. You don't even, listen, don't let me mix you up. You don't even have to get baptized to be saved. The thief on the cross, all he did was, Lord, he said, "Lord, remember me when you go in your kingdom." Now, I do believe you ought to follow the Lord in baptism, but that thief on the cross didn't have time. He died. But he died with Jesus in his heart. Amen. He sure did, because Jesus said, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." Well, how could Jesus give him that eternal security? Because Jesus is our eternal security. He really is. He paid our sin debt in full. I am eternally secured in Christ, period, exclamation mark. There's an old song that says, "Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin has left a crimson stain." And guess what? He did it dead right. He washed it white as snow. I'm telling you, as far as the east is from the west, your sins have been paid full in. I'll tell you, you are paid for, my brother and sister in Christ. Paid in full. And you can stand on that. You can take it all the way to heaven and be eternally secure. Some say, "Well, that's a Baptist thing." You know, eternal security is not a Baptist thing. It's a Bible thing. Amen. And I'm going to tell you something. Some say, "Well, it's a license to sin." Oh, not according to the context of this. If you're saved, you don't want to sin. Hello? You're dead to sin. For you to sin would be pretty... You say, "Well, wait a minute now, preacher. You know we're going to all sin. I know we're all going to sin, but we're not going to live in sin, not and be saved." No, you don't want to. If you can live in sin and enjoy it, you weren't saved in the first place. You're still lost. But if you're saved, you hate sin, and you're so grateful that Jesus paid it off, because, friend, you could have done everything in your life to try to pay for your sin, and it wouldn't have been good enough. He paid it in full. Peace in full. And I had to put this word peace in here. "Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him." Because I find my identity in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, I can have a perfect peace, even if I am facing death. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Death is but a shadow when Jesus is the Son of God. The shadow of a sword cannot kill. The shadow of a dog cannot bite. And the shadow of death is only in Scripture you're going to sleep, because you're going to wake up in glory. Amen. You see, think about that. If you've lost a loved one this year, think about that. You can have peace in the midst of that storm. You can have peace in full, because you know what? The shadow of death is but a shadow when the light of the world lives in you. That's why we sorrow not as those without hope. And then I wanted to close on the best point of all, and I believe this is the best thing I got to say to you today, so please receive this. Pardon in full. Pardon in full. Now here's where we get into it. "For in that he died..." Now, this is important. "He died into sin once." Now, I've got the word "once" in my Bible underlined, and I've got it highlighted, "once." "But in that he liveth unto God." And the next word, the next two words are very important too. "Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord." In other words, he is dead right, so that he will never have to do it again. Here lies one of the most powerful doctrines, I believe, of eternal security. And that is, Jesus died a one-time death, so you only need to be saved once. You are eternally secure in that he died in the sin once and for all. Let me tell you how important this is. You accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior today. You walk down this aisle and you say, "I want to give my life to Christ. I want to identify with the death and resurrection of Christ. I'm going to invite Jesus to come into my heart and save me." And he saves you. You go out the next week and you mess up. I mean, you did something like, "Oh my, if I was saved, that wouldn't have happened." You come back the next Sunday and you come again to this altar and you ask the Lord to save you. You know what the Lord says? "Wait a minute. I've already done that. I saved you last Sunday. Why are you down here getting saved again?" You really can't get saved again, because Jesus died on the cross one time. And that once experience on the cross was good enough that I am saved. I'm saved Past, I'm saved. Present, I'm saved. Future. I'm telling you something, in Jesus Christ, I am eternally secure because he died a one-time death. You don't need to get saved but once. Hello? Amen. Now, you say, well, I've prayed that prayer two or three times. Look up here. I'd rather be eternally sure than eternally sorry. So, you know, I'm not going to condemn anybody who's prayed the prayer more than once, but I am saying this. It's a one-time experience. You don't need to get saved again. I'm going to help Self and Clay as long as I can. And I've written something in their Bibles to say to them, guys, I want to be there for you if you ever have a question. I want to help. And by the way, church, your responsibility is help those little boys grow up in the Lord. Amen. That's your responsibility. It's my responsibility. So that they won't ever have to say, well, I wasn't sure about that decision. Billy Graham has a daughter that got saved at 5 years old. And she said she remembered exactly when she came to Christ. Lived for Jesus all of her life. I'm telling you, this pardon is full. This pardon is full. Your pardon is full and your eternity is secure. You're not told to feel it. You're not told really to even understand it. You're told to reckon on it. So what does the reckon mean? The word reckon, and we're done. Reckon in verse 11 is an accounting term, a bookkeeping term, which means something you can count on as a fact. We're talking about like figures. Figures are a fact. 1 + 1 = 2. 2 + 2 = 4. So Paul is telling us to add up the evidence and then declare ourselves dead to sin and alive in Christ. You understand? That is why the last verse of chapter 6 is this. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. For the wages, there's that word. He says, you add up all the wages of sin will give you death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Are y'all following me this morning? I like this now. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's not a matter of clenching your fists and trying to do better. It is simply acting on faith, what you know to be fact. Christ died for you, and you died with him. Now you must reckon this as a fact. You got to add it up. Jesus paid it all. I have peace that passeth all understanding. I've been pardoned. You stand on the authority of his word and you will not be moved. I am secure in Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. That blesses my socks off. Y'all look at me this morning like you're just sitting there. I think we ought to stand up and shout or something, because think about it. This is not something that just will slip through your hand. It's something that you can count on. You know what I've learned about women? This is a big deal with women. So I try to do this for my wife. You know what women really like? You know, we men don't think like this, but this is a big deal for women. Women like security. They really do. They want to know that their marriage is secure. They want to know their children are secure. They want to know their finances are secure. Us guys, I don't know. I don't know what our problem is, but but I'm going to tell you something. All of us, our security is in Christ. Amen. I'll tell you what, if that don't light your fire, your wood is wet. Give your heart to Jesus today. We're about to give the invitation. And it's an old song that I just love. Can I give you just some of the words before we sing? It's come to Jesus. Weak and wounded sinner, lost and left to die. Oh, raise your head, for love is passing by. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus, the song says. Come to Jesus, look up here, and live. Now your burden's lifted and carried far away, and precious blood has washed away the stain. Now this is what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm about to cry. Sing to Jesus. Woo! Sing! I got a song to sing. Amen. You know why I got this joy in my step? Because of Jesus. Amen. I can sing to Jesus. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Amen. I can sing. I'm going to put another DR in here. I'm about to have a spell up here big time. DR, dance, Ronnie. Woo! I believe I'll just go to dance. Hey, dance, Ronnie. David danced before the Lord. Amen. I'm not a good dancer with a girl, but I'm a good dancer with Jesus. Amen. So church, I'm going to ask you something. Can we start dancing with Jesus? Amen. You know what I mean by that? I'm talking about a lifestyle. I'm talking about living in one accord with Jesus and each other. So can y'all join me in a heavenly dance? Can we sing this song to Jesus today? I don't know. It just hit me. I get to sing to Jesus right now. That don't hit y'all, does it? I get to sing to Jesus? I want to tell you a burden I got. I want to see more of y'all in this choir because we got a reason to sing. And y'all can sing a lot better than I can. You really can. Let's sing to Jesus. Come on, Alan. Let's sing to Jesus. Let's all stand. Father, in Jesus' name, as we stand to our feet today, I'm going to ask you that we give a song like we've never given to you, that we sing because of our identity in Christ, because of your death and resurrection. I pray today that we will see someone come to Jesus now. Jesus died for all. He didn't die just for a select few. He paid that sin debt. And Jesus, you made a way that whosoever will may come. May this invitation be a beautiful invitation of people coming to Jesus. God, there are those today who are heavy burden. May they come to Jesus today and lay that heavy burden at this altar and leave here resurrected in new life. Sin has brought a lot of bondage in our lives, Father, every one of us. If there are those still struggling with bondage, would you set them free today? God, I pray today this invitation will be about freedom because Jesus came and died and paid the sin debt and rose again that we might be free indeed. So now, may we all come to Jesus and sing. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's sing.